Go to Hebrews chapter 10. The only veil there is left is the veil of his flesh. I've seen some puzzled looks, so I'll read it. And see, you'll argue with me, and sometimes you'll argue with this, but you know you're going to lose if you argue with this. And so, I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. And their sins, plural, and iniquities, plural, will I remember no more. Do you suppose God got senile that he can't think? You ever have a problem remembering things? Do you suppose my father has a memory problem? There's some things he don't remember no more. And he plural sins, plural, and iniquities. The word sins means there's a lot of times you miss the mark. That's all it means. It's got nothing to do with drinking moonshine and smoking cigarettes. It just doesn't. And we'll get to that. The word sin, literally, and you know this, literally came from a Greek throwing a dart at a bullseye and missing it. It literally means you missed the mark. That's why Paul said we've all sinned and come short of the glory. We all threw the dart, but we missed the mark. And we throw that thing time and time and time again until it becomes sins, plural. The word iniquity means refusing to keep the law. How many times have I did that? So what he said was, that he said, all those times you missed the bullseye, and all those times you wouldn't hear me when I talked to you, I remember those times no more against you. I tell everybody, I don't have a message of hope. My God, this ain't about hope. This ain't about faith. If you're living in the faith realm or the hope realm, you're in the wrong crowd. Hear me now. I'm not scolding. This ain't about faith. If your faith don't end, you won't ever know the salvation of your soul. What did he say? Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's what he said. Didn't he? So I'm still trying to get faith to believe. Forget it. I can prove to you by the book that you don't live by faith to start with. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and look at it. Being therefore justified by faith, you have peace with God. Period. Not calm. You're justified by faith. And the word justified has a verbal meaning, but it means you're all stooped over and now you're standing upright. I ain't got no hump in my shoulders. I ain't got no load. I ain't got no guilt. I ain't bearing no burdens. I'm standing upright by faith. Read the rest of that scripture. He said, by whom we have access, by faith, into what? Grace. Wherein we stand. I'm not standing in faith. I'm standing in grace. Yeah. I got into grace by my faith. And when my faith got me into grace, my faith had done its job. I don't live by faith. I don't. And the word grace is a beautiful word. You know it. It literally means a divine influence on your heart and the outworking of that influence. Now here's what he said. He said, for it is God, our word, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You tell me where you get in the ball game. Hello? I quote it again. For it is God which worketh in you.
Yes.
Remember, God and Word is the same. So you can say, for it is Word worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Yes.
Argue with it. That's what it says. John made this statement. When you see Him as He is. My God, I had a preacher friend in Oklahoma call me one morning. They said, Ray, they said, the God that I know this morning is not the same God I knew yesterday. Hallelujah! We're almost like Paul. Sometimes we worship an unknown God. It is the pure mercies of God, whoever you are, wherever you are in God. It's the pure mercies of God, plus nothing, that brought us to this next.
Got that right.
It's bottled to this day.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you what is happening, if it ain't it will, by the time this meeting is over.
Hallelujah.
You're going to find your mind stripped naked,
yes,
like somebody picked a cotton patch and there ain't nothing else left showing. You're the, everything that you think yesterday,
yes,
you'll think different tomorrow. You can't live in what has been and enjoy what now is. I don't care what we had yesterday. Lord God, I had gifts. I had all the beautiful gifts of the Spirit, and thank God for all of them. But if you think because you've got a gift made you spiritual, your thinking is wrong. See, we were taught, well, if you've got gifts, you're spiritual. Especially pray for the sick and they got healed. You really be spiritual. One of the greatest men I ever knew in my life, A. A. Allen. I've never seen a man in my life have that kind of faith. Maybe some of you remember. He died an alcoholic. Was he spiritual? Of course he was. But his gift didn't make him spiritual. I'm gonna drop this and I'm gonna go on. The one thing that I wrestle with, I think more than anything else, was when the truth broke on my heart, I've always been a spirit being.
Yes.
Because I was taught I was a natural being having a spiritual experience. Nothing could be further from the truth.
That's right.
We are spirit beings.
That's right.
He is my Father.
Yeah.
John 1, He is the Word. But John 4, He is Spirit. Genesis 1, He's a voice. We are spirit beings. That's why He sent the Spirit of Truth to bring to my remembrance who I forgot that I was.
That's right.
God, God, this is when I remember who I've always been.
Wait for you.
The war is over. The war is over. I said about the tongue. Let me clear that up. I speak in tongues probably more than y'all. So what? And I came up through the ranks that tongues is a prayer language. That ain't true. Really, the only purpose of you speaking in tongues is to edify yourself. But you see, you have to edify yourself because you don't know who you are. Come on here now. You show me where Jesus ever had to get somebody. Let me say, where can you find that He ever got into a crowd to have a worship service?
No.
Second chapter of Acts. All in one accord. There's 500 people invited to that upper room. 120 went. Suddenly there came a sound. They don't say it was a rushing wind. It says, as of. To them, it sounded like a rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And suddenly, cloven tongues like as a fire. And it says, cloven tongues set upon each of them. Am I saying it correctly?
Yes.
Go back to Moses. If you ate meat under law, he had to have a cloven foot and chew the cud.
Yes.
You thought that word cloven was in the book of Acts by just by mistake? Oh no. Cloven tongue would signify that a law was there. Mm-hmm. But it was a cloven tongue. It would be able to speak both Moses that had been.
Yes, yes.
Come on here now. And the day that they were in. They were 16 nations represented that understood everything they said.
Absolutely.
Oh, hear me. It was not an unknown tongue. The unknown tongue, to far as I can know anything, had not begun to be spoken until approximately 18 months ago. An unknown tongue is a tongue that you've never heard before. But Paul said an unknown tongue unveils mysteries.
Yes.
So you need to prepare yourself to hear a tongue
yes.
that's going to tell you things that you ain't never been told in your life.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
And you may or may not be able to find it in King James.
Amen. Probably not.
Come on here now. What difference does it make if you can hear it?
Yeah.
And you know it. You know. You know. It's the Spirit of truth unveiling in you. The mystery that has been hid from ages and ages and ages. But has been predestined for this day to be unveiled.
Amen.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. Oh, that's good.
We were predestined for this day to speak a tongue that would unveil mystery that had been hid from every generation from the time Adam stepped out of the garden. You're going to say things that no tongue has ever said. You need to hear that. But let me tell you this. Build as a wise master builder. We used to sing a song. God's building a house. God ain't building no house. Nobody can look in the book. You build a house.
That's right.
He said, other foundations can no man lay that is laid. And he said, you take heed how you build their
yes,
own.
He did. Yes.
You build a house. You build on a foundation, but you take heed. That's why there's been so many shaky houses. We built a twisted concoction out of our religious concepts.
Yes.
And we thought we was godly. Yes. We're doing everything we knew to do.
Yes.
I was as ignorant as yesterday's gone by, but I knew I did everything I knew to do.
That's right.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, there's a house being built now that'll stand ever shake. That'll stand ever rumble that comes through your land.
Yes.
You've got no crooked two befores in this one. I mean, this thing is square with a plumb line. Now let me tell you. Don't be afraid to tear down the house that you built 20 years ago.
There you go.
My God, please don't try to keep trying to build on what you did yesterday. Let it go. Let it go. I don't care what it was. Turn it all down. Hear me. Turn it all down. Because you've been predestined by a sovereign will of God to appear in this day to declare things that no generation was ever privileged to share and declare. You come to unveil Father. That's all you're here for. Unveil Father. And you ain't going to cop out by trying to get Jesus to do it either. Did you ever read John 17 real close? Remember what he said? Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. Now give me back my glory that I had with you from the foundation of the world. Now let me ask you this. Do you think he really finished the work? You really think he did? Then why are you still trying to get him to do something? Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. But you need to understand something. He ain't here no more.
That's right.
That body's gone.
Come on.
That's what? You're here.
That's right. Amen. Glory to God. You're right.
And see, it's written in the volume of the book. You come, I come to do thy will, O God.
Amen.
And you think you're going to goof around and mess it up? Shame on you. It's already written. It's what you come for. Oh, he may drag you through nine kinds of hells.
Amen, brother.
He don't necessarily have to. But he loves you.
Yes, he does.
And he'll correct you with teaching that you don't like. Yeah. I'm going to tell you this by the word of the Lord. You're about to hear things that will blow your thinking into hell.
Yeah.
It is. It has mine. It is me. I'm at the most blessed day. I never knew anybody could enjoy living the way I enjoy it. I'm as serious as a dog with ticks. I didn't know anybody could enjoy living this life. I didn't. I don't have to preach. I'm honest. I don't have to seek and search and study and moan and groan. I ain't got no blues to sing.
All right.
I ain't got no sad song to sing. We sang the song a while ago about the glory. Beautiful. You see, he said, I won't give my glory to another. Go to John 17 again and watch him. Just watch him. He said, Father, give me back my glory that I had. Somewhere he laid down a glory.
Yes, he did.
Knowing full well that he'd pick it up again.
Mm-hmm.
In John 17, he said, Father, just go ahead. Give them everything that you give me.
Amen.
Come on.
Glory to God.
All right.
Did he say it?
Yeah.
The old boy in the pig pen. You know what pig pens are? Religious order that you come through. That is the truth. You eat the husk with the rest of the hogs.
Yeah.
This is mean, ain't it?
It's all right. Gotta get mean sometimes.
And everybody wanted to go to a higher order. What you're saying, I want to go to another pig pen. Oh, I want to go to another dimension. Now let me show you something. Let me ask you. Now, do you believe that you're the light of the world?
Yeah.
He said you were, didn't he? Do you believe that you're a city?
Yeah.
Sit on a hill.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that he never one time said that he was a city? He said, you're the city. Come on now. See, you're trying to get Jesus to do something he ain't going to do.
Amen. Oh, my God.
You need to forget it, kids. Really, you do. You need to forget trying to get Jesus to do something for you. He left here. He ain't coming back. We need to settle that issue. He's gone. But when he got back and got his glory back, he sent the Spirit of truth. You see, he said, I'm the truth. Did you know that he never did say, I'm Spirit? He never said he was Spirit. He said, I'm truth. What do you think people are going to think of you when you said, I'm saved? I'm the way. Mm-hmm. I'm the truth. Mm-hmm. And I'm the life. Mm-hmm. You think they're ready for it? They weren't ready for him today. What makes you think they're going to be ready for today? What do you think about that? So he said, you're the city.
Amen.
Quote Revelation chapter 21. And once you see that, you'll quit trying to go to another dimension.
Amen. Amen.
The city. Who's the city? Come on here now. And there ain't nothing wrong with her.
No.
Isn't that amazing? Did you know the church had to get you lost in order to keep you in church? Once you understand that you never was lost, they're out of business.
Yes. Yes.
What do you think is going to happen when it finally dawns on you the reality of every man shall sit under his own fig tree?
Yes.
Oh, come on here.
Yes.
What do you think is going to happen to the mass buildings?
Limousines.
The limousines.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the $10 million mansion that I personally know, some of the preachers that poor people send money to.
Yes.
I ain't going there either.
Yeah, under his own fig tree.
They're hirelings. I don't care what they call it, they're hirelings.
Yes, they are.
They don't care nothing about you.
Don't we used to be?
Send me pledge $50. Plant some seed faith. The biggest lie that was ever planted in God's people's mind. If you sow some seed faith, they ain't got one word to stand on about seed faith. There ain't no such thing. God had dealt to every man the measure of faith, and that measure of faith got you into your grace.
Right.
And you're standing in your grace. I don't mean to get. I'm yelling.
That's right. I'm hearing you say.
There ain't nothing wrong with the city. She's prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And she ain't going to another dimension, folks. She's coming down.
Yeah.
That's not a fairy tale, that's reality.
Yes.
Amen.
Read down the bottom of the page. It says it twice in the same chapter. The last time it says this, and the nations of them which are saved. They're not the city. but they walk in the light of the city. You hear this? Will you quit trying to get, maybe you don't, but if you quit trying to get everybody in the same boat, they'll sink your boat. Everybody is not the city.
Amen.
Everybody's not Melchizedek.
Amen.
If you notice that word, there are kings and priests after the order. After the order of Melchizedek, not Jesus.
Amen.
Come on here now, don't throw a stone at me. I love Jesus. I'm not.
Amen. Not see.
But this is not an order after Jesus.
No.
Jesus finished that order.
Amen.
Leave him alone.
Right.
Let him enjoy his glory.
All right. And we're his glory. And we're his glory. Glory to God.
Would you believe this if he told you that you are his praise? Every man shall be found a praise unto God.
Wow.
What we call worship. And I love it. That's all I know. What I call praise. 99 times out of 100 is my emotions. See, true praise is what you are.
Yes, that's it.
It is being. It ain't doing something.
That's it.
It's, you are the praise of God.
Yes, yes.
Can you hear this?
Mm-hmm. We are.
Yeah. I'm not going to quit saying glory to God, hallelujah either, but.
No.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh,
glory, hallelujah.
I tell you, I know this, but we need not think it strange. We are in the beginning, not of a day. It's not about a day. My understanding has come that we are the day of the Lord.
Yes.
And I know, and maybe you are, and I don't disqualify or discredit anything where you might be or what you might think or see. But as long as you're day conscious, you can never be God conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what I'm saying now. Somebody said this today. I think I said it today, and somebody maybe elaborated on it. And Hosea said this. I wound you, I'll heal you. Did he say it? Over there, 6. I'm going to wound you. But I'm going to heal you. And he wasn't talking about physical sickness now. Hear me. And he said, the first day I'm going to do this. And the second day I'm going to do this. And the third day, I'm going to raise you up. And you're going to live in my sight. That's resurrection. Hear me now. The third day to verse the second day. And we're still trying to get the second day works in the third day. You can't do it. We're so miracle conscious until sometimes we lose consciousness of who we are.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying now? On the second day he did miracles, right? That third day he didn't say anything about what we call miracles. Actually, we are a miracle. But he said, that third day, I'll raise you up and you'll live in my sight.
Yeah.
Oh, but did he come to the fourth day? You read it? Hosea 6. He said, then, after resurrection, then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord. Then what he said, that his going forth is prepared as the morning. You see, you don't follow on to know him until you get past knowing that you're resurrection. Can you hear me now? And I said this today, but I'll say it again. In Luke, I think he said, you go tell that fox. Remember what he said? He quoted what Hosea said. He said, you go tell that fox, today I'm going to do certain things, and tomorrow I'm going to do certain things, but now look at the difference. And on the third day, you'll be perfected. So perfection and resurrection is the same word. Perfection, your resurrection is your perfection. By one offering, he perfected forever. Come on here. The old bumper sticker, I'm not perfect but forgiven, that's a bunch of hogwash. It really is. Why don't we buy that stuff? Hear what I'm going to say now. Again, perfection, resurrection is identically the same thing, the same word. Yes, yes. We're waiting for a resurrection that's already took place. Yes. See, resurrection is not an event, it's a life that I received when I believed. 1 Corinthians 15 is the old resurrection. I've preached it 1,500 different times, different ways in my Pentecostal walk.
Oh, yeah.
Follow somebody. I did it, and I said this today. I've lied to hundreds of people standing by a graveside. Don't cry. There's going to be a day when he's going to come up out of that ground. He ain't gonna come up out of that ground. That house ain't gonna never come up out of the ground.
That's right.
If that house is dissolved, we already have one, Paul said, in eternal in the heavens.
Yes.
So the house that went in the ground is not the city that's coming down. How long have I been preaching? I ain't done.
Is the city coming down or is the city coming out?
Coming down.
Coming down.
But you see, you probably could say it both ways, but that which we are is descending.
Okay.
And the substance, we are the substance of that city.
Yes.
We're light, we're water, in my belly flows rivers.
That's it.
I'm light, so I got electricity.
Yes.
I can zap you now. Did y'all ever sing the song, Here's My Cup, Lord?
Uh-huh.
We used to sing it, you know. Here's my cup, Lord.
Oh, God,
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty. Who in God's world, whoever got us to buy into that lie? All the time. He didn't say you was a cup. He said in your belly there's rivers. Will you tell me, dear Lord God, how many cups can your river fill? It always sounds so religious, you know. I used to cry when I sang it.
Oh, yeah.
I bought the lie. Man, they sold us a big one. Which is even an unknown tongue now coming that religion can't cope with. See, this is a tongue that they can't twist. This is not a forked tongue. This don't have to keep Moses. This don't have to keep King James. You see, we have now become the book. I don't want to go there, I'll sit another hour. The living epistle that's known and read by all men.
Yes. Glory to God. Wow.
This ain't the book of life. It just isn't. This ain't my life. I love this, but this ain't my life. And if somewhere in these meetings, if time of event, I can prove to you that this can be a big lie. I can prove it. I can prove to you that this can be a big lie.
It can be. Absolutely.
I can prove to you by the book that every time you read this with a religious mind, you crucify afresh the Son of God. If I may say this, I'm going to say it, so go ahead and give me permission. Thank you. It'd be better if you laid that down and never touch it than it would to get on your knees with a religious mind and read it. I said with a religious mind. Because a religious mind will make it lie to you. It'll take it natural, literal, and it never was meant to be that way. It is not. It was the law of Moses, for instance, was never given for you to keep. Did you ever try to keep the Ten Commandments? Go try it. Did you ever find something in here that you just, oh, that's the truth, I'm going to do it, and then try to do it, and couldn't? For the sake of somebody that wants to question, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, now read this and quit, I think. I tell you, if y'all don't open now, I'm having a ball.
Yeah. Yes, my God, yes. She didn't write it, brother. My Jesus.
I know who I am, and I just enjoy being I just enjoy being I is. See, the beautiful thing is, I don't have to prove anything anymore. I don't have to prove to you, or even my father. He knew from the beginning who I was.
Now you know who you are.
And I know who I am.
Glory to God.
You talking about communion? That's communion.
That's communion.
Yeah. That's communion. Actually, the word fellowship and the word communion is the same word. So we come together, we say, well, we have fellowship. What we really mean is we hug necks and shake hands. And you tell me your story and I'll tell you mine. That ain't nice, is it? We call that fellowship. It really isn't. True fellowship is communion. True fellowship is when I eat your flesh and drink your blood. That's true communion. But that's true fellowship. It really is. And we know he's not talking about this thing now. But the life that's in you. See? And we don't come. We don't come to be fed. If you do, you don't know your father. Let me ask you this. When he fed the multitude, who did he feed? Himself? The multitude. So you come as bread. But you see, you're a different bread and a different wine than Moses was. You have bread and wine that belongs to a Melchizedek order. You do. The bread and wine that you have is not a Pentecostal order. It's not about talking in tongues and prophesying and praying for a handful of people. That ain't what you're here for. You may do that. I mean, I'll pray for anybody. Well, let me say it this way. Sometimes I will. But see, the bread and wine that you are, you've come to change Bible stories into life.
Hallelujah.
So this is a Bible story if you don't understand who you are. Thank you. And as long as it's a Bible story, it's about somebody else, you ain't going to get one good out of it. This is Bible story about somebody else. And 99 times out of 100, when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about somebody else. Out yonder somewhere. Someday I'm going to go see him. That can't be true. Because when you see him, guess what? When you see him as he is, you are him. When you see him as he is, the him, the word, made flesh. I can't get away from this. Let me get this in light and I'll read this. Joel chapter 2. Most of you know it by heart. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And you go to almost any kind of translation you want to go to, and it says, the people that is coming is at hand. They're here. They're here. I see you. I see you. You're the people that was predestined to be here at this time. And you're not behind schedule either. You just barely got here on time. But you made it. The word sound, he says, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Well, we know that a mountain is what we refer to as a kingdom order. And the word mountain is the highest order. Because of the Song of Solomon, there's hills and mountains. Meaning there's a low order, but a higher order. And when she seen her beloved, he was skipping on both of them. He would go from the low order to a high order, from a high order back to low order. But his only reason of coming or descending to a low order is to take you to a high order. And then you become. It's not some place you go to visit and then come back. You become that order. So he said sound, and the word sound literally says to split the ear with a sound. But it's in that higher order. He said, in my holy mountain. That's where the sound is now coming from. It is not coming from a Mosaic order. It's not coming from a Pentecostal order. It's not coming from a sonship order. It's not coming from a kingdom order. It's coming from an order that cannot, never, never, ever be succeeded.
Amen.
This is the highest that there is. And he said, sound or split the ear with that sound from that order. That's why you'll hear a tongue that you never heard. Because this is coming from an order that no tongue has ever spoken from. Can we hear this? My God, I'm saying that guy, we'll say things from that order that no tongue has ever said. I'm ready for it, are you? And he said, here's what you tell him. Let ever all the earth tremble. And if I put in my verbiage, for the people that was predestined has arrived. My God, that make me want to leap. I believe this with all my being. I believe this with every ounce of my life that I got. I believe this. There is a sound coming from an order that nobody knows anything about it, and it's going to be an unknown tongue.
Yes.
That nobody can interpret. And that tongue will split the ear that those who are supposed to hear will hear. Children, don't worry about who's going to come and who ain't going to come. Don't worry about that. Understand that you're in the mountain and you've got something to say. Is this all right? For time's sake, I'll hurry and skip. He said, let the priest and the minister of the Lord. If you're not careful, you'll miss what he said. He said, let the priest and the ministers, they're not one and the same. Under the old order, you had two ministers. You had a minister that would minister to the people. But then you had a minister that would minister to God. Y'all remember? And we've done both. I have. You have. Minister to the Lord, and minister to the people. This is a different ball game. This is not ministering. This is bread and wine that you have become that people now ready to eat and drink. He said, let them weep between. Verse 19. He said, the Lord will answer and say unto his people. Remember, the people are those who predestined to show up. He ain't talking about natural Israel. He said, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make your reproach among the heathen. And if you don't believe we have been a reproach among the heathen, go to some heathen and try to convince them that your God is who you say he is. Come on here now. We were in the Philippines 3 weeks ago. We had contact with four different groups that was going to try to visit. But we kept getting word after word, don't go there, don't go there. It's a Muslim country, Muslim controlled. And I'm not saying anything bad about the Muslim. It doesn't matter what they are. If you're not God, you're anti-God. It don't matter. So we didn't go. The Sunday before we left the Philippines, some guys on a motorcycle rode up in the pastor's front yard, shot him 7 times. I'm going to tell you something, and you think this strange. If you're sold out to be and do everything that God sent you here to be and do, you need to brace yourself for some things that you don't know anything about yet. You think you're just going to glide through this thing? I'm a king, I'm a priest. Yeah, I'll join the crowd. But you see, this king and priesthood has arrived now to produce the evidence. They come to him and he said, well, what great work do you stone me for? Remember what he said? We don't stone you for what you do. We stone you for what you say. And you're going to be surprised how many crowd pleasers there is in this thing. Because they're not going to say things that will cause him to get stoned. Unless you come to a point in your life to where you know your life is not your own. You come here to do the will of the Father. And I'm going to tell you now, it's so far different. Doing the will of the Father is so far different than anything I'd ever dreamed of. Doing the will of the Father is just simply being who he sent you here to be.
Yes.
You ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. Understand who you are and then show up.
Hallelujah.
But there's a mountain. Here's where I want to go. And there's an order in this mountain. And it's not an order, it's a life. This ain't a place where you're going to ordain bishops. I'll tell you now, there won't be no bishop in this crowd.
Amen.
God, hear me now. I'm not scolding. This is life for me. There ain't not going to be no name calling in this order. It's a life that you are, that emanates from your being. Follow him on the road to Emmaus, 3 days after crucifixion. Crowd of guys walking along talking about the crucifixion. Somebody joins the crowd. What are you talking about, guys? Haven't you heard what happened back there? They were there. You think you know him? Suppose he changes forms on you before you get home. Hear what I'm saying now. Will you still know him? Yeah, you'll know him because your spirit and his spirit is one and the same. And you have that recognition that you and him are one and the same. You're not Jesus. One spirit. One Lord. One baptism. You get to the place where they're going to turn in. He's not going down the road. They still didn't know who he was. 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. 7 miles of talking to him. 7 years. 7,000 years. Talk about him. No, we know he's been crucified, but that's the point when we got off the wagon. He gone down, and they said, come in, break bread with us. And somebody had been talking about breaking bread. And this is really the truth, and we know this. Anytime there's a true breaking of bread, there's an opening of the understanding. That's breaking the bread. That's true breaking of bread. Open your understanding. If I'm going to break bread with you, I'm going to open your understanding. If I'm not, I haven't broke bread. Really? And it says, as they broke bread, their eyes were opened. And here's what they said. You know it well. Did not our heart burn within us? And I tell you, and I hear this in my heart, it's for all of us. There's been a time when I didn't know who he was, but I had a burning heart. And I refused to let go. I refused to go the way everybody else went. And you have to. I didn't know. And I look back and see some of the steps I took, and I thought, God, why did I take those steps? I don't know why I took them, but I had a burning heart. And you see, there comes a point when you recognize who he is. You know who you are, and the heart don't burn anymore. Can I say that? But until you know who you are, you see, the truth is, when you know who you are, you'll know who he, the Word, is. And when you know who the Word really is, you'll know who you are, because you're one and the same. Is this too plain? Go to Joel again. Now read this. Are we going to eat anything afterwards? I hope not. In verse, the last chapter of the book of Joel, it says, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from peace. Jerusalem means peace. This sign is ready to utter a sound that ear never heard. And Paul put it this way. Eyes not seen and ears never heard. It's never been in the heart of a man, the thing that God prepared for those who love him. It's never been there. There's never been a people with this heart. There's never been a people that had this mind. There's been a people who talked about it. Abraham, the voice of faith. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. I'm the city that Abraham looked for. Oh, yeah. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and watch those faith heroes, and you tell me if you want to really be in faith. What happened to the faith heroes? They said they all died in the faith. Not receiving the promise.
Oh, God.
And I'll tell you as loud as I know, I said, you didn't come here to die in the faith, baby. You didn't come here to die in the faith. You didn't come here to go to Copeland or Roberts and sow seed faith and get more faith to die in it. Let me tell you, I don't care how much faith you get, you'll die in it if you stay in it. You didn't come to die in the faith. You come to be a voice from the mountain. That voice and that order, and it's not just order, it's a life that nobody has ever known anything about. But it's a life, and that life has got a voice. If I can say this, that life has got a voice. That life has got a voice. And it's a voice that perhaps this ear's never heard and won't ever hear. But there's an ear already prepared for the voice that's coming. Can I say it this way? I believe the ear was prepared to hear the voice before the voice was ever prepared to speak it.
Already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A brother called me some time ago. He said, Ray, I'm hearing things in my spirit that I can't find in the scripture. And what I did, I was, hallelujah! He thought he's backslid. I'm going to tell you again, you need to get ready for some things that nobody has ever told you about. God sent you here to uncover mysteries that's been hid from every generation to this day. Don't be afraid to speak it, children. I don't care if you never heard it before. It don't matter. And it don't matter if you can find it here or can't find it here. If you hear it, speak it. You see, I'm going to tell you something. You know this, but I'll remind you. That which comes out of you now is going to resonate. It's going to go into the remote regions of the damned. Can you hear this now? And they've been waiting to hear this sound. They have heard every sound that's been here prior to this one. Still tangled up. Still in chains. But there's a sound that's going to come out of this mountain now. That's now coming out of this mountain. That's going to resonate into the regions of the damned. Light will come on in the dungeon of their thinking. And they'll think, oh my God, that's what I said. What have I been? Did you see? There's a wine, a new wine. You read, I will read, but you read. He said, he told him this, he said, you received the former rain. Remember? And I heard that preach Pentecost, tongue speaking. It ain't got nothing to do with that. I got my computer and I wrote it down. For he had given you the former rain moderately. You know what that means? The word former rain means a teacher that will teach you. It means to flow as water. So when you put it in its proper perspective, out of that teacher will come a life flowing like water. That's the first rain. That's to get you ready for the downpour. I'm ready for the flood, aren't you? It means to point out, to inform, to instruct you, to show you, or to teach you. But it all flows out like water, which is life. So it's not just somebody standing up here reading scriptures. It's a life of water. That rivers of water flowing out of your belly. It's pointing out certain things, bringing things to your remembrance. You think, oh yeah, I know that. See, you always knew it, but you forgot it. Here comes the other rain. And the latter rain. It means to spring forth as eloquence. It means to gather the crop. It don't mean to win souls for Jesus. My God, this big an eye. I'm not going to do this. I said. See, the latter rain just informed you what you were going to do when the former rain got here. Has anybody here beside me ever picked cotton? Oh, did you? I knew I felt a kindred spirit about you. I was raised a farmer, so I know something about getting ready for the harvest. And Pentecost, sonship, kingdom, everything I've ever been in was just teaching me how to eloquently gather the harvest. And I'm telling you now, children, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. The fields are white. They waited for you. They waited for you. They waited for the voice to come out of the mountain. And this is a voice they ain't never heard. But you see, their ear has already been tuned to hear what you're going to say. If I don't quit saying amen, I ain't going to never quit. This is awesome. Yeah, I mean, this is awesome. Will you sing a song? It's harvest time. You ever sing a song? It's harvest time. Well, part of it was real. And I said this about saving souls. And I don't belittle that. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. You see, the truth is, every place I've ever been when I was there was the only place there was. When I was there, there wasn't nothing else. But see, when I went to the next one, I was like, this is better than the first one. But you see, when I was there, there wasn't nothing else either. Because I was still conscious of realms and orders and days and laws and bylaws and in-laws and outlaws. They're all there in the system that we come through. Every one of them. We all come through there. But you see, none of them could tell us about this day. This is a day that didn't come by much studying. This is a day that's come by the unveiling of the Father. To let you know He chose you for this very day. I may go, if I go on a limb, the meeting that we're here right now, where are we in Michigan? What's the name of it? Warren, Michigan. I was in Flint, Michigan when I was 19 years old. Lived there for 2 years. I picked fruit, harvest fruit, throughout South Haven, Finville, Ann Arbor, cherries, strawberries, you name it, we picked it. I have a whole parcel of kinfolks living somewhere in Detroit. I said that to say this. It never, never one time dawned on me that I'd be here in Warren, Michigan to declare what's coming out of my being. But you see, it doesn't come by you understanding all things. It comes from a commitment that you resolve. There's no going back. Regard what it costs you. Naomi got two daughter-in-laws. Remember the story? And we're out of time.
Who said we're out of time?
But if you ever noticed, they were daughter-in-laws. I say it a minute, you'll get that. They were daughter-in-law. You get it? Before daughter-in-law, before daughter-in-law can be seen or heard, their husband has to die. Father, help us here. But you see, Naomi and her husband had beautiful names. They carried a beautiful title. I'm Reverend. I'm Bishop. I'm Prophet. Now they got a new name. They got a new name now. They're a psalmist. And I know some of them got two names. They're a psalmist prophet. And some of them was a psalmist bishop.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Naomi and her husband had beautiful names. They had two children, offspring. Can you see what their kid's name was? Sickly and Piney.
I know it. I missed that.
Can,
what was the name?
Sickly. I forgot the name, but it literally meant sickly and Piney. Can you imagine naming your two kids? But now here, get this in the spiritual context. They were born out of a promised land. There was a famine that caused Naomi to leave home. And went to a no man's land. So orchestrated by the sovereign planning of God, they get there and the husband dies. And then the two kids dies. Get this. Anything that tries to feed on any food away from homeland will surely die. Whether it's a concept, a revelation, an idea, a thought, or a tongue. You leave home, and you see, it could be that God designed you to leave home to get rid of your garbage. So when everybody's dead, somebody brought Naomi a word. Hey, there's bread back home now. And I'm going to tell you this. That's exactly what we've heard. There's bread back home. Mm-hmm. And we're home. Yeah. So here come the two daughter-in-laws. You see, a daughter-in-law has got a law mind. Mm-hmm. And a law mind has to live in faith. A law mind... See, the law is all the time accusing you, telling you how bad you missed the mark.
Yeah.
So you go to church on Sunday, you get a lawyer to tell you, yeah, you missed the mark. So you give him your money to tell him about a God that he don't know more about than you know. Really? I mean, that's the truth. Why in the world would I pay somebody to tell me something if he don't know more than I know? But we do. That's religion. That's religion. And you feel so good going down the aisle and putting your money in that plate. And if you're if you've got a new dress, you walk just right going back down the aisle. But you're so proud that you went down the aisle and you put money there. Next week you do the same thing. Because between now and next week, you're going to forget what he told you today. You come back next week and he's going to tell you the same thing he told you today. But you're paying to do it. Children, if you're going to build your house, sit down and count the cost. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Because you may not belong in this crowd. I don't know if you do or don't. I tell you what, if you're not, it won't be long until you won't be around it. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't heard. Listen, brethren, we have a tongue that was predestined to say things that no tongue can ever say. Because our mind is going to think different than any mind's ever thought. Yeah. And for God's sake, don't be a crowd pleaser. Don't go amongst a crowd and prophesy to them and get carried up in all their emotions just to please somebody. Understand you come here with a different purpose. They come to the border on the way back home. And here comes the dividing line. Will you or won't you? Because there's some folks now coming to a point of no return. You're going to do one of two things. You're going to go back home.
That's right.
Or you're going to cross over into an area that you've never put foot in. She was going into a country that she didn't even know the language. She was a total foreigner. A total stranger. She knew nothing about the country. Except what mother-in-law had told her. See, she's about to cross the border. She ain't got no green card. She can't come back. I'm telling you, this is the place of no return. And I'm not just talking in my head. I'm talking my experience. And some of you have experienced this. And some of us don't really know all there is known yet, but we got that burning heart. And we know now that we've made a commitment that there ain't no going back. And if you think the crowd's going to love you, you need to let that thing go real quick. If you think they're going to pat you on the back and tell you what a great guy you are, you might already get ready for somebody to shoot you in the head. But I'll tell you this. He has a reward of his glory that's already promised. And he said, I'm not going to give that glory to another. But you see, you're not another. You are the people that were a no people. And now you have become word personified. I believe as much as I know how to believe. I'm word made flesh. Just as sure as that first man Jesus was. You see, God is word. And there's a lot of forms of that word. It's still the same word. I'm not Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for that lamb. Thank God for everything that he ever was. But he finished what Father sent him here to finish. Now he sent me here. He sent you here. And we're going to finish.
Amen.
My God, there's a commitment made in our spirit. We're going to finish. We may go to Gethsemane a few times. I've been there a few times. And I've gone to the garden of Golgotha. The place of the skull. Let me drop the thought in your thinking. Commitment is placed, is made in Golgotha. The place of the skull. The mind. The mind is the place of the skull. That's where crucifixion took place. That's where resurrection took place. It's all in a garden in Golgotha. The place of the skull. God, can we understand the garden that you really are. And what emanates out of that garden. Hear the cry in the Song of Solomon when she understood she was a garden. She began to pray for the wind to come and blow upon the spices. To let it exude. Let it get over the walls. Let it come into an expression. Let it show itself. And that's our cry tonight. Come south wind, come north wind, blow on my garden. Ain't nothing wrong with the garden. The spice is there. Come, Spirit of Truth, break my alabaster box. Break it open. Let the precious spices that's buried there all these years. Open that box. God, pull the cover back from it. Understanding that this wine is not going to go into an old wineskin. Just ain't. But you're not the old wineskin. You're the wineskin that was prepared for the new wine. And it's going to come. It is coming. It's going to flow in this life. It's life. This order is an order of life. Thank you. Thank you.